Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in. Psalm 55, verses 16 through 23. But I call to the Lord, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hands against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, in front of the king's quarters, while the king was sitting on his royal throne, inside the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight, and held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you, even to the half of my kingdom." And Esther said, "If it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a feast that I have prepared for the king." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, so that we may do as Esther has asked." So the king and Haman came to the feast that Esther had prepared. And as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king said to Esther, "What is your wish? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled." Then Esther answered, "My wish and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my wish and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come to the feast that I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said." And Haman went out that day, joyful and glad of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he neither rose nor trembled before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and brought his friends and his wife Zeresh. And Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, and all the promotions with which the king had honored him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and the servants of the king. Then Haman said, "Even Queen Esther let no one but me come with the king to the feast she prepared. And tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Yet all this is worth nothing to me so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Let a gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go joyfully with the king to the feast." This idea pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through chapter 3, verse 1. "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in the questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through his joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you die to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to things that all perish as they were used, "according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Good morning and welcome to the eighth Monday after Pentecost. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from Laguna Niguel, California. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 55, Esther 5, and Colossians 2 and 3. However, being July 25th, it's also the feast day of Soldier Saint Christopher the Dog-Headed. And Christopher, there's two kind of main legends around who he was, and the more well-known one is the later of the two, and I'll talk about that first. It begins with Jacob de Voragine's golden legend on the 13th century, the 1200s. And according to de Voragine, which is really like, it's almost like a comic book. Like, these are meant to enthrall readers. They're not, you know, the Golden Legend was not written for historicity. It was written to appeal to people and to captivate them rather than to perhaps inform them or kind of record a history. And so when we speak of the Golden Legend, we have to kind of keep that in mind. They're based on historical facts and tradition, but that's not de Voragine's intent. So in his account, Christopher the Dog-Headed was a Canaanite, big and tall, and he was kind of like a soldier of fortune or like a mercenary or something. He was, you know, an operator of operators. He wanted to serve the most powerful master. So he goes to his local king, and he's going to ask him, you know, how he can serve the king. And when he mentions, the king, talking to someone else, I guess, hears mention of the devil, he sees the king cross himself. And so he says, oh, well, clearly the king is not the most powerful. I guess I'll go find the devil. He finds the devil, and he has a conversation with the devil, but the devil is afraid of Christ. And Christopher thinks of the cross that the king made in mentioning the devil. And there's some allusion to the demoniac in Mark 5 in de Voragine's Golden Legend that, you know, like, who are you? Are you going to torment me? So, like, the devil says something about Christ tormenting him. And so Christopher gets it in his head, oh, I guess this Christ is the most powerful in the land, and I guess I'll serve him. And so he finds a monastery, and he tries to become a monk. And the monks tell him, look, you know, the way you do service to Christ is to fast and to pray. And Christopher says, I can't do that. And so one of the monks, a hermit, says instead, well, you can help people cross this river because it would be pleasing to Christ that you save people's lives, because people have been dying, the, you know, when it flooded or whenever, like, people were drowning in the river. And Christopher was like 6 feet tall. And so he said, okay, this is a service I'll perform to this most powerful king. And so he ferries people across the river on his back because he's so tall. And I think he had like a rope attached. I can't remember. There's all kinds of different legends. But in the Golden Legend, he's ferrying people across until finally he comes across a child crying on the side of the river. And he asks to be taken across. And Christopher doesn't see his parents or anything. He just sees this child crying, asking to be taken across the river. So he does. And the further he goes through the river, the heavier the child gets. And so as he's getting near the far edge, the child is so heavy that he's having difficulty crossing. But he's got some hubris. You know, he wants to be the most powerful, worship the most powerful king. And so he's determined. He's really hard-headed. He's determined to get this child across. So finally he gets him across the river, and he lays him down on the far banks, and he collapses. And the child says, you had on your shoulders not only the whole world, but him who made it. I am Christ your king, you are serving by this work. And then the child vanishes. And so that's where we get the story of Saint Christopher the Dog-Headed, who bears the Christ, Christo Bear. Now, that is a legendary account. The historical account, and what makes him a soldier saint, is these. There are three pretty ancient manuscripts, all preserved by David Woods. I think I've got one of them, a public domain one, an Irish translation. These Passions of St. Christopher, some of them mention explicitly that he's a soldier, but all of them imitate the form of the military martyr story so closely that it seems pretty clear that he was a soldier. What kind of soldier and for whom is not clear. In most of these legends, he's called, you know, big and ugly. You know, he's got the face of a dog, and, you know, I don't really know exactly why. There's something about the language, and he's a foreigner serving, you know, Roman emperor. And that's why I say maybe a mercenary. But he doesn't speak the language. And so he either is or becomes a Christian while in military service, and he prays to God to speak. And so the dog-headed thing, in these passions, it's literal, like he has the head of a dog, which is probably saying, you know, he had some deformity and he was also a foreigner, didn't speak the language, or he couldn't speak the language very well because he had deformities affecting his ability to speak. But the fact that he is persecuted by an emperor suggests that he was within a certain kind of inner circle closest to the emperor that would include the military. As I said before, some of the earliest state-sponsored persecutions were mostly soldiers because those are the groups that had the closest proximity to the emperor, and who the emperor had the most power over were officers. And so the story of Christopher the Dog-Headed comes out of these historical tales that place him as a military martyr, place him as a foreigner, as very large, where Dvorakin gets some of his sources, you know, God only knows. But that is the story of St. Christopher, the soldier saint who becomes the Christ bearer in serving Jesus in his most distressing disguises, even as a small child trying to get across the river, which fits within this kind of wider pattern of the saints helping someone who was poor or in need, and then discovering only later that it, in fact, was Christ in disguise. And so the Christopher story, I mean, a lot of people, you know, the popular version, of course, is more popular. But there's a reason that he's called a soldier saint. And it's the dating of which we get some of these sources, these early sources, and the style that they take when they tell of who he is and why he is venerated. The Prayer of St. Christopher for Travelers, adapted from the Catholic Doors Ministry website. Dear Almighty God, protect me today in all my travels along the road's way. Give your warning sign if danger is near, so that I may stop while the path is clear. Be at my window and direct me through, when the vision blurs from out of the blue. Carry me safely to my destined place, like you carried Christ in your closest embrace. Amen. Thank you for falling into First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/pewpewhq. You can contribute as little as $1 a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in the episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.